Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel. And in this video, I'm talking about what's happened with regard to the Ukraine war. So very good news for anybody who cares about freedom or international law. And that's the $50 billion loan that the G7 countries are offering to Ukraine. I don't know what a timescale is supposed to be repaid. These things may never be repaid. G7 is in the group of seven, as in the seven large economically developed countries. Okay, there's some countries which are rich per capita, like Luxembourg or Monaco, but because they're very small, they're not in it. The European Union as a whole is said to be in it, as well as the seven individual member states. Russia was in it, was the G8, till the 2014 invasion of Ukraine, and Russia was expelled at that point. So they have their annual jolly, the meeting in the summer. So some very welcome news. Now, how are they going to be able to repay this? The Ukrainian economy is wrecked. Almost a quarter of the population have fled the country, and so on. Well, it's partly, they say, well, to pay off the interest in it so it doesn't go up, we'll take that $260 billion US dollars of Russian state assets frozen in European Union and other Western countries, and places like Singapore, South Korea, Japan, not much of it, the Far East, but anyway. And that will be used to pay off the interest in it, so the loan won't go up in terms of interest. Those frozen Russian assets are going to generate at least $3 billion of interest per annum. But wait a second, since the war started, that being 2.5 years ago, so that how much has that generated already? That's like $7.5 billion. I don't know what they're doing with that. So this loan is obviously vital for Ukraine to pay all things they need to pay for. I mean, the European Union is giving them 6 billion euros a month to pay the salaries of various people, pay for essential repairs and maintenance and so on. There's also $1 billion in the European Union. Sorry, it is dollars, not euros, actually. They express this as, which will pay for the energy infrastructure, because Russia's resumed its tactic of deliberately destroying Ukrainian energy generation to leave people without electricity. Now, being the height of summer, this is not as severe a problem as you might think. People don't need heating, long hours of daylight, but winter will come. And at this rate, there'll be no energy generation left in Ukraine. Now, they're increasingly connected to the European Union electric grid, so they can get that. The only thing is you have to pay for it, unless, of course, the EU's willing to give it free. Remember, they've got land borders with three European Union member states, namely Poland, Slovakia, no, four actually, Hungary and Romania. So, I mean, I think it's just a waste of ammunition from Russia's point of view. But that's just sheer nastiness for them. You know, morality aside, it would actually help their war effort more if they targeted military assets rather than civilian ones. But it's that level of malice. Anyway, so that's very welcome news for Volodymyr Zelensky. He's signed a 10-year bilateral security agreement with the United States. And the United States and Ukraine have agreed on things like on just a weapons supply and indeed weapons manufacturing. So some of these will be manufactured in Ukraine. I'm a little bit dubious about that because the factory could be blown up by Russia, whereas they're not going to do it in the United States. One thing is an awful lot cheaper to hire people to do these things in Ukraine than it is in the United States. I mean, Russia, they say, produces a shell for a fifth of the cost that NATO countries produce them because they can pay people so much less. And plus, they really cut corners on health and safety and stuff like that. All right. So that's keeping Ukraine in the game for much longer. Remember, only a few months ago, well, till April, it was really horrific for Ukraine because the $61 billion US aid package hadn't come through. It was questionable would it ever come through. But it's, since April, it's really all been good news for them. What else is it going to point out? So they can buy more weapons, pay more people, do whatever they need to do. The other thing is they need more generators, you know, diesel generators or whatever, diesel powered ones to keep the electricity going if the grid is cut off, and never mind the generation, substations blown up and so on. But you need to distribute an awful lot of diesel because obviously you'll freeze to death in Ukraine without heating. Some people in the countryside have gone back old school, have got their little wood stoves or even burning coal, but obviously in an apartment block you can't do that in your flat. Right, so the G7 nations, that's the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United Kingdom, meeting in Italy right now, the southern tier of Italy. They often try and meet quite remote places so that protests can't disrupt it. Now, there had been talk, would they confiscate, is almost $300 billion in assets from Russia and just spend it themselves on rearming themselves and donations to Ukraine? But no, apparently that would be illegal. The European Union said if we did that, then that leads to capital flight. Other governments which have invested in us, they would withdraw their assets for fear we might do it to them, particularly China over Taiwan. But the trouble is that almost every country recognizes Taiwan as Chinese sovereign soil. So there wouldn't be such a ground to do that. Anyway, so Putin was really thinking he could wait it out. And there was some sign that that was working for him because of Russia's enormous resources, the seemingly endless reservoir of manpower, of just throwing bodies at the problem, which immoral though it is, even from a Russian point of view, thinking of how many people are getting killed avoidably, usually works. And Russia's often won wars like this just by having greater resources and more territory to retreat into, done badly, Russia or the Soviet Union or... So even the Chechen War of the 90s worked like that to some extent. The Second World War didn't work in Afghanistan, but some other wars against the Ottoman Empire, against Sweden, and so on. What else? So Zelensky is very happy about this. Now, Putin is obviously decidedly dischuffed because that strategy doesn't seem to be working. Now, some politicians have been elected to office in European Union countries who are less sympathetic to Ukraine, like Robert Fico in Slovakia. The guy got shot and survived, said that they will, he won't donate anything else. But European Union for a while became less generous. But this is going to keep Ukraine going for like a year at least. What are we going to do towards the end of 2025? I don't know. The war's definitely going to go on to 2025. So there's this peace conference coming up in Switzerland to be attended by 70 countries. Now, Russia's not been invited. Now, admittedly, this is a bit of a non-starter because you can't have peace if one of the protagonists in the war refuses to stop fighting. You can't have peace on one side of war and the other. That's not peace. But Ukraine openly said, it's quite surprising they said this frankly, maybe this is how sure they were of it, that China was seeking to undermine the peace conference. And I suppose they must have, they're doing that at the behest of Russia. So the Ukrainians must be very confident about this, that they went so far as to be undiplomatic as to say so publicly. But I don't doubt that they're true. And the Chinese say, well, we won't come if our ally Russia doesn't attend. So setting out possible peace plans. Now, Putin very cynically has offered a ceasefire. For how long? We don't know. On condition that Russia gets five Ukrainian regions. Remember, Russia illegally seized Crimea in 2014, rigged their referendum, said 97% of people voted to join Russia. In fairness, if they'd held it on a completely equitable basis, the pro-Russia side would have won anyway, but not by quite as high as 97%. And then remember when Putin invaded Ukraine in 2022, he vowed that Russia would never claim a single millimeter of Ukrainian territory. Well, I said at the time it was a lie, and surprise, surprise, in September that year, they held their referenda in five more illegally occupied regions, Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson regions, and all five of them, it was in the high 90s. The result that they wanted to be absorbed into the Russian Federation. So he claimed those, but he, I think, held the regional capital of only one of the time was at Kherson, and he held only about half of the territory of these four regions. So you couldn't have such a referendum when you couldn't actually get half the people to vote in them, as well as it being held under intimidation by the illegal occupier. So, but he says, if you withdraw from the rest of these four regions, then there'll be a ceasefire. Now, who would be imbecilic to do that, to let your enemy advance? Because you know that Putin will break the deal. He always reneges on the deal. He always betrays people. Just ask Yevgeny Prigozhin. Oh, no, you can't, because he was murdered two months after the peace deal, and so forth. He is utterly dishonorable. The chicanery of the Putin regime is notorious. He will tell lies, no matter how flagrant, no matter how shameless. He is conscienceless. He's got something in common with Donald Trump there. He has broken every single agreement he's ever made if he thinks he can get away with it, if he thinks there won't be real repercussions. So obviously, people in Ukraine are not advocating for this. Now, only a few months ago, when the military situation was dire, when the Ukrainians were dying in serious numbers, were desperately short of ammunition, there was some grumbling and saying, are we going to have to face facts and actually parley? Are we going to have to strike some sort of deal, agree not to join NATO, which Putin wants a demilitarization of Ukraine? Well, that has spectacularly failed. Ukraine is far better armed than it ever was before. And that's why this war has been a catastrophe for Russia. It's brought about the exact opposite of what he wanted. It's militarized Ukraine. It's drawn them closer to the European Union and NATO. They've got EU candidate status, which they wouldn't have got otherwise. Finland and Sweden have joined NATO, significantly strengthening NATO. Finland is Russia's neighbor. So it has been a disaster for Russia in that sense. He's made it so much worse for himself. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.